Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. You might say Tuesday's show begins with a splash. More than a few splashes, actually, at the just-concluded 7th Africa Zone 2 Swimming Championships in Accra, Ghana. Yao Ofusu-Labi says the action took place at Ghana's first FINA-approved Olympic standard swimming pool. And Yao joins us now from Accra with this feature report. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings from Accra, Sonny. Now, this was not exactly Chad Leclerc or Kirsty Coventry level of swimming perfection, but it had its own twists, turns, and fantastic excitement that amused many who watched on from the stands. The Zone 2 African Swimming Championships had never been in Ghana due to a lack of a standardized, internationally accepted pool, but after its construction in December last year, doors have opened for the country to have a look in anytime the idea of hosting a swimming championship comes in. Hosting a first-ever swimming championship must take some nerves, and local organizing committee chair Sarah Asafoje has tons of that.
The competition itself has been excellent. I think the swimmers will tell you they'll be the best people. It's been excellent. The performances have been unbelievable. We've had so many championship records set here, so many national records set here. Behind the scenes, it's been frantic, but that is normal. It's normal. There's always going to be slight challenges on the first day. But it's getting better, and I think anyone will go away from this competition saying that it was well organized.
The championship brought together different countries from the West African sub-region, with Senegal and Nigeria eventually leading the charge on the medal table. Senegal finished with a basket full of 49 medals, 21 of which were gold. The Nigerian swim team bagged 31 medals in all, and host nation Ghana finished with 28 medals in the bag, which was a marked improvement on other championships they have participated in. 21-year-old star of the show, Sebastian Kuma, from Mali, picked up 4 gold medals and has already been tipped by many as the next big thing in the sports from this continent.
I really love swimming. That's why I am always trying to do my best. And it's an honor, and I am very proud to be able to represent my country. That's why I always try to do my best when I'm in competition, and competition like that are very important for me, because it's a possibility to represent the country, and I'm very happy again to be here.
Ghana's swim team was the youngest at the championship with an average age of 16. Captain of the team and Ghana's only male swimmer at the 2016 Olympics, 19-year-old Abeku Jackson, bettered his time in the 50-meter freestyle race and sets a new national record at 22.92 seconds. He has set his sights on bigger things.
All I did out there was to give my best, just try as much as possible, go all out and see the outcome of it. For me, there's still more improvement to be done. More is always can be done. My aim is to go back home, to train even harder, work even harder, and try and even drop all my personal best or this new record.
Senegalese swimmers Amadou Ndiaye and Stéphane Kilian shared their thoughts on how well the competition will help their progression as young swimmers.
There is a lot of swimmers who did good time in Abeku Jackson in butterfly, but I think there is not too much swimmer in long distance.
For the pool, talking about the pool, is a really nice pool, really nice swimmers around. I mean, I've been talking with my coach since the beginning of the meet. I'm not doing best times, but like he said, the same time last year, at the exact same time, I was going way slower, so I'm happy with what I'm doing right now.
Many young swimmers from different countries in the sub-region shared their thoughts.
I feel like the competition is a great experience. I feel like every competition, you learn something new and it helps you improve upon yourself.
Very satisfied how they were able to build the pool and now we're able to organize it. Obviously, there were some organizational issues, but I think with the first time hosting it, really great learning experience and we can just grow from this.
I love representing Ghana. It's really nice to be able to do that for a country. And so far, I've been really liking the results I've been getting in the championship and how I've been swimming my events and the times. I've been liking it.
I'm happy with my times I've got. Hopefully I improve in the future.
I've achieved my personal targets and I've the targets with the team, which was set for the team, was also achieved. So I'm proud of the boys, proud of the girls on the team and proud of everyone.
For many of the young swimmers, this is a time to shine, better their times and become stars like the ones they've adored for many years. It'll take a while, maybe a pretty long while, but one of these kids might just come out of this as the next African star in the pool. Michael Phelps, maybe, you never know. For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Ofosulabi in Accra, Ghana.
While the coronavirus epidemic has canceled or postponed many international sporting events, athletes continue to train for the Tokyo Olympics. The opening ceremony is scheduled for July 24th in the Japanese capital. Nigeria will feature in both the men's and women's Olympic basketball tournaments in Tokyo. Azini Kalu is the point guard for Nigeria's national women's basketball team, nicknamed the Tigress. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Azini said the team is delighted to represent both Nigeria and Africa in Tokyo.
When we all found out that we were qualified for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, we were super excited, overwhelmed with emotion. This was something that we had worked so hard for and everything was finally falling into place, not just for Nigeria basketball and as players, but for Africa as a whole. Regardless of the Olympics, to represent a nation of people who has always been forced to keep quiet, stay in the shadows, and not show the excellence and talent that we possess. So many Americans are breaking barriers throughout all sports, with the women and men's basketball teams both qualifying. Just kind of gives us the opportunity to really showcase what Nigeria has to offer to the world, and we're looking forward to it.
When will the team resume training for the Olympic Games? Are you afraid of meeting big names like the United States of America, Canada, or Spain?
Training camp, I believe that we will start training camp the beginning of May for about 3 weeks. We'll have a two-week break and start camp again early June. And let me just say this, Team the Tigress is not afraid of matching up with any team, any place, any time. We work and train so hard to become better every day. Fear is not in our DNA, and it will never be. Whatever team just make good for our group, we'll just take it one game at a time and really play at the highest level possible.
Are the players in touch with each other as you prepare for the Olympic Games?
Yes, us girls are always staying in constant contact with each other. I think it's important for us to stay connected off the court so that we can have that strong chemistry and relationship when it's time for us to compete. All of us are like sisters. We disagree sometimes, fight sometimes, but that's what family do. I mean, we are far from perfect. We just try to treat each other with respect and we're each other's keepers.
That's Azini Kalu of Nigeria's national women's basketball team, and she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Landerneau, France.
Salty greetings. This is Azini Kalu, point guard for the Nigerian women's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Former captain of Nigeria's national football team says there are some good home-based players who can help the Super Eagles. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the chairman, Christian Chukwu, had this to say.
We have talented players, mostly local players. These days, We go abroad. All our players have been invited from abroad, which I'm against till tomorrow, because we have good players back home. Because charity begins at home, as they said, and these players are the players that are ready to fight and die for the country. I'm not saying the foreign players are not good. They are good, but the home base, I think, are more committed to the assignment than the foreign base. We can add a little bit of foreign players, but inviting 30, 40 players of foreign base does not augur well for our football.
What do you think should be done on the side of the MFF, on the side of the coaches, to get more of home-based players to the national team?
Yeah, you remember when Westerhoff was there? He was living in Nigeria. He was not living abroad. And you could remember the players then were all home-based. From there, they take off to Europe, you know. The national team coach should live in Nigeria, watch our national league, because when the teams see the coach in the field, you see them performing more. They want the coach to see them and so on. The players. And from there, we will get a very strong team. You can camp the home-based players for 1 month, for 2 months, but you cannot camp the foreign base. They come Friday, they play on Sunday, they go back on Monday. So that coordination, there's so many things that will be lacking. They don't know themselves even, because they have not trained together or played together, you know. But when you invite home-based players and you put them in the camp 1 or 2 months, you see the coordination, you see everything. The coach can even help the local players to move forward to Europe and get clubs in Europe.
Let's look at the present Nigerian Professional Football League as constituted. I'm sure you will have had the opportunity of monitoring some of the matches or even watching them. What's your assessment of the league vis-a-vis as in getting the talent that we have to play for the national teams, various national teams?
Yeah, I think our league is a bit okay. The only thing is that we don't have calendar, you know. We should make sure we have calendar to be rhyming with European clubs and the world. We should belong to the world. It's not when they are off-season we are still playing. It puts a lot of distraction from our players. But if we amend our program and when everybody is off, we are off. The players can have time now to go for trials and every other thing they want to do, you know. And that will not disturb our league. If not so, our league is very good. Our league is fine. And we should be able to invest more on our league.
Thank you very, very much, sir.
Thank you very much. You are welcome.
That's the chairman, Christian Chukwu, the former captain of Nigeria's national football team, and he was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye in Enugu, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Music Time in Africa is the Voice of America's longest-running English language program. It was founded in 1965 by the late great music man, Leo Sarkisian. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with an encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation. Gwen says a South Sudanese runner who has trained in Japan is hoping to compete at the Tokyo Olympics. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. We are almost 4 months away from the start of the Olympic opening ceremonies in Tokyo. And despite the possible threat of the coronavirus on the start of the Games, Olympic chiefs are encouraging all athletes to go full steam ahead with their training. And as the Games draw closer, Olympians around the globe are entering their final push to reach peak physical condition in their quest for gold. But many athletes in some of the world's poorest countries are forced to push their bodies to the limit without adequate training facilities or proper gear. So last year, the Japanese city of Maebashi decided to host an athletes' training camp to help athletes prepare for the upcoming games. South Sudanese long-distance runner Abraham Majok arrived at the camp last November, but he says what he experienced extended far beyond the facility.
What I like best in Japan is just, the way they relate and, the peace they have, the love for each other. You know, since we came here, we have seen a lot of love and we have discovered that Japanese are not like other people. Because when we came here, we didn't expect that much love. Me personally, I was even worried what kind of, because sometimes you get when, go to a foreign country, you are black, sometimes you may have challenges. So I was worried of what challenges I would be having. But when I came here, I got totally the love the Japanese people have. It's really more than the normal one.
Majok trains with three other South Sudanese athletes, including 400-meter runner Akun Akun. He says training in Japan has helped him foster a sense of unity among fellow athletes.
So when we meet there, we make the friend. I can see them like my people, exactly. Because we meet in the one place when we are play one game. Thus, the game can unite people. Come from Europe, Africa, Asia, many places. That is can unite people. And when people unite, that is love and peace.
The South Sudanese athletes come from the world's youngest country. In 2013, 2 years after declaring their independence from Sudan, the country descended into a civil war that left an estimated 400,000 people dead and forced millions from their homes. And runner Abraham Ajok says because of his country's history of conflict, bringing home a message of peace is just as important as winning a gold medal.
Well, Olympic, according to my own understanding, is a game of peace, and it happens because the world is at peace. People are able to come and, celebrate and have fun together, enjoy life. And now as an athlete from a country that is still not having full peace, and I have come this way, I've seen the advantages of peace in other countries, and I'll be able to interact with other countries which once were at war and now they're having peace, and I'll be able to get the advantages of peace. And when I get back, the message I will have is the importance of peace. And that's the biggest message I would send to my people.
The South Sudanese athletes will represent their country at the upcoming Summer Olympics for only a second time. South Sudan made its first ever appearance in 2016 at the Rio Games. However, a South Sudanese athlete has yet to bring home a medal. But this could be the year, so stay tuned. And that's all from me for now. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Monday night, The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Milwaukee Bucks by 14 points. The Bucks played without some key players, as we hear now from the AP's Bruce Morton in Denver, Colorado.
The Nuggets jumped out to a big early lead and held on for a 109-95 victory over the Bucks. Denver placed six scorers in double digits, led by 21 from Jamal Murray.
It was a great booster. You know, we needed something that could get us going. So, you know, tonight was great. Everybody got in the game. Everybody played. Everybody contributed. And, you know, just want to see the ball go in from a lot of different guys.
At 53-12, Milwaukee has the best record in the NBA, but it also has a three-game losing streak. On this night, its case wasn't helped by its missing four starters, including reigning NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was out with a knee injury. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. In a double overtime thriller Monday night, the Atlanta Hawks held on for a 143-138 victory over the Charlotte Hornets. Atlanta's DeAndre Hunter broke a tie by making three free throws with about 13 seconds remaining in the second overtime. Trae Young had 31 points and 16 assists for the Hawks, while Terry Rozier led the Hornets with a career-high 40 points. The final result followed a strange finish to the first extra period. Young's pass set up a dunk by Cam Reddish for a 138-135 Atlanta lead. Rozier answered with a game-tying three-point shot. Then there were two reviews by the referees producing different results. Following the first review, the officials said Rozier was fouled by Atlanta's Trevion Graham with less than a second remaining before Rozier had a chance to attempt two free throws with the score tied. Atlanta's Lloyd Pierce registered a coach's challenge. And this time, the second time around, the officials ruled Rozier was not fouled. Final score, Atlanta 143, Charlotte 138 in double overtime. And in one more NBA result, the defending champion Toronto Raptors topped the host Utah Jazz 101-92. The Raptors got big games from two of their African front court players, Serge Ibaka from Congo Brazzaville and Pascal Siakam from Cameroon. Each scored 27 points. In addition, Ibaka grabbed 13 rebounds, while Siakam finished with 11 rebounds and 8 assists. Elsewhere around the NBA, the Los Angeles Clippers signed veteran center Joakim Noah. The 35-year-old Noah is a two-time All-Star who played 42 games last season with the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the move is described as one that gives the Clippers an aggressive physical presence in Noah, who has playoff experience. The Clippers are coming off a 112-103 loss to their city rival, the Los Angeles Lakers, on Sunday. And speaking of the Lakers, 4 days ago, Lakers star LeBron James brushed off the idea that the coronavirus might soon force the NBA to hold games in empty arenas. LeBron said, and I quote, "I play for the fans. That's what it's all about. If I show up to the arena and there ain't no fans there, I ain't playing." Well, a high-ranking NBA executive responded by saying, "With no disrespect to LeBron, this is a public health crisis that's bigger than any one person. Personally," that executive goes on to say, "I think there's a good chance we will be forced to play games in empty arenas at some point." Another team executive called LeBron's comments short-sighted and not helpful, given the need to inform the public about the dangers of the coronavirus. Numerous football leagues in Europe and Asia have canceled games or played them without fans. And the new Basketball Africa League, which is sponsored by the NBA, has postponed its inaugural season because of coronavirus. The Basketball Africa League was scheduled to tip off on Friday, March 13th, in Dakar, Senegal. No new dates have been announced. And that wraps up the March 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer, Bill Andrade. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
In 2012, NASA's Kepler spacecraft discovered three odd exoplanets circling a 500 million-year-old star some 2,400 light-years away. 2 years later, scientists found that the planets seemed to have a lower density than any planet in the solar system, and that they appeared to be light, fluffy, and resembled cotton candy, the favorite circus treat. A team of scientists led by researchers at the University of Colorado Boulder recently used the Hubble Space Telescope to confirm these earlier findings and find that the planets in the Kepler-51 star system represent a new class of exoplanets nicknamed superpuffs. According to NASA, although they each have a mass that's no more than several times that of Earth, because of their atmospheres of hydrogen and helium are so bloated, they are nearly the size of Jupiter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on